Well, our subject today, you'll see in the introduction, is man-made revelation. Revelation is truth that has come from God. Truth which has come from God and which is in the Bible alone. Man-made revelation is truth that people that claim truth from God that is not from the Bible. Extra-biblical truth claims, man-made revelation, that's our subject today. And Jesus in this passage is warning his disciples against it really quite strongly. He's saying that for two reasons it's very dangerous, and that's what we're going to be considering today. Now, the reason we need to know this is because you may not realize, but Jesus says every Christian who comes after him, Christ, is recruited by him to be what he calls a scribe. A scribe is someone who teaches others the truth about God and about Jesus. And if we're going to do that, then we need to realize that there are truth claims out there that are dangerous and that we must avoid and not seek to sort of partner with people who make them. And today, Jesus is dealing with man-made revelation, and he's saying it's very dangerous. If I ever start standing up and giving you some extra do's and don'ts that you don't find in the Bible, please escort me upstairs and throw me onto the street. The Bible says that God has revealed his will. He's revealed how to get right with him, but he's revealed it in the Bible alone. Anything extra is man-made, and it's very dangerous. And what Jesus begins by showing us is that it's both rebellious, but then secondly, that it is useless. Now, what are these man-made revelations? Well, in Jesus' day, it was the tradition of the elders. Just look with me at verse 2. This is what we're getting at, okay? So, spiritual Ofsted have turned up in Galilee where Jesus is preaching. They've come all the way from Jerusalem. It's about a week's journey there and back. And they've come because they've heard that Jesus and his disciples are laying aside the traditions of the elders. In particular, they're not washing their hands, which was a tradition of the elders, before they eat. Now, it can be good to wash your hands. It can be ungodly not to wash your hands sometimes, but we don't sort of install a sink over here because the Bible doesn't say that you have to wash your hands before you eat and that you get spiritually unclean by not doing so. But the Pharisees and the scribes said, you do. But it's a spiritual thing. And they said this on the basis of the traditions of the elders. And Jesus has laid these things aside. And it's important to understand what they were because they are very contemporary. So the Pharisees and the scribes believed that, yes, God had spoken in the Bible through people like Moses, and we have the law in the Bible. But they also believed that God had passed on other certain truths through Moses down a sort of chain of elders. None of this written in the Bible, just passed down verbally through successive generations. And the scribes and Pharisees were the sort of gatekeepers of this truth in their own day. And this is an ancient version, really, of what is sometimes called apostolic succession. So in the Roman Catholic Church, it is still believed that there are two authorities. It is believed that the Bible is an authority, but it's also believed that there's a sort of chain of senior people, all the way back to Peter, who have passed down extra information that we don't get in the Bible. A chain of popes who speak authoritatively on other matters which God has not spoken about in the Bible. It's very similar to what the tradition of the elders was in Jesus' day. So with the elders in the Jewish religion, it was Moses who passed on extra information to Joshua. He gave it to some elders who gave it to the prophets, finally Jeremiah, who gave it to Barak, then Ezra, then Simeon, then Antiochus, then Jose, and Nathan, and Joshua, and Judy. And it goes all the way down until you get to the man that trained the apostle Paul, Gamaliel. But Paul rejected the tradition of the elders, just as Jesus does here today, because it is man-made. The Bible says that God has revealed himself and his will only in the Bible. And so it is to the Bible alone that we turn. And this is because it's dangerous to do anything else. to look at truth claims that are not coming from the Bible. And it's dangerous, firstly, because Jesus says it is rebellious. So just look at verse 3 with me. In verse 3, Jesus says to the elders, speaking about their extra information that's been passed down in the traditions of the elders, verse 3, you break the commandment of God, so real revelation in the Bible, for the sake of your traditions. You're actually trumping God's word with your inherited traditions. And I think this is just inevitable. We will always lean towards our own ideas over and above what God has really said. Can you see what they're doing? They're overthrowing the rule of God with their own rules and ideas. Verse 7 says the same thing. Look at verse 7. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honours me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So doctrines there, revelation, fixed truth from God in the Bible. When we take our made-up rules and give them as commands that have the same weight as doctrine, God's word, what are you doing? You're acting like God. You're speaking like your God. You're issuing rules as if you were God himself. And that is called rebellion. It is to overthrow God's rule. And that's what Jesus is saying. Look at the beginning of verse 9. In vain do they worship me. Verse 8, their hearts are far from me. This is all stemming really, truly, deep down from a position of rebellion against God. Now, why is that a dangerous thing? Well, look at verses 12 to 14. In verse 12, this is such an important verse, okay? So just make a note of this in your mind. The disciples are worried that Jesus is offending people. They're worried that everything I've said so far is a little bit sharp-edged. And it is, because it's offending the religious establishment. And they say to Jesus, Jesus, don't you realize you're offending everyone? Come on, this is no way to sort of lead a movement. We've got to bring people with us. But what does Jesus say in response to the disciples? He says, don't worry about that. He says, verse 13, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. He's saying God is going to root up and remove all those who promote man-made revelation. I work over at St. Nick's, a church in the city. We've got a little terrace outside, and we've got quite a few weeds growing there at the moment. And I went outside and I did a bit of weeding. So here is a plant, it's a weed really, but a plant of sorts that was flourishing not too long ago. It was alive, it was well, it was happy, it thought it was going places. And then I came along and I rooted it up, and now it is dead and dry and only fit for the compost heap. And Jesus is saying that God's view of man-made revelation, people who would say they are speaking his word when they're not, well, man-made revelation and those who promote it are fit for the compost heap. That is what Jesus is saying. One day God will return in judgment and root up from his church those who have asserted other authorities that are not really God's word. And that's a very dangerous place to be, isn't it? And it's a very dangerous place for me to be associating myself with something that is going to be rooted up. I don't want to be too nearby. And Jesus is saying in verse 14, just let them alone. You know, Jesus wants them to change their thinking. He is teaching them and showing them their error. But he's saying to his disciples, ultimately, don't try and play the diplomats. Don't try and work together with these people. Because what they're doing is they're actually rebelling against the living God who has spoken by saying, oh yes, and also this. They're acting like God, and it's rebellion, and it's heading for judgment. Just let them alone. And the second reason it's dangerous is because it's useless. This is Jesus' point in verse 14. It's put in quite a sort of humorous way, really. Let them alone, verse 14. They are blind guides. So a guide here in the illustration is someone who leads a blind person. Okay, so a bit like a sort of a guide dog leads a blind person. And the job of a guide is to get the blind person where they need to go safely, without sort of falling down the stairs or something like this, okay? But if a blind person follows a blind guide, they will both end up in a pit, says Jesus. A blind guide is useless to a blind person. And following man-made revelation is like following a useless guide. You cannot get to God or salvation or heaven by following them and their teaching. They will lead you in useless paths. And this is what the traditions of the elders had done. And this is what all the distractions and rules and regulations that come in sort of extra Christian religion do. They lead you down useless paths. So with the elders, what it was a religion of ritual to do with washing your hands. This was the great thing they were so concerned about. They made a 7-day sort of round trip to come and challenge Jesus. You're not washing your hands before you have your chicken sandwich. This was their religion. It can be said in many ways by Jesus that this is useless, but the way he says it is there in verse 17. Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes through the stomach and is expelled? So food can't contaminate your soul. It's just stuff and it goes through you. You can't have food that you somehow spiritually contaminated by not washing your hands that then gets into you and somehow contaminates you spiritually. No, it just, it's food. It feeds you, it goes into your stomach, it does its job, and then, you know, let's not think about it too much. We're having our lunch. Obviously, hand washing does not cleanse you spiritually, but how many man-made religions are there in the world where this really is the great thing? Rituals, certain cleansings, pilgrimages, whatever it may be. But it's useless. It can't do anything to help get rid of the actual problem which Jesus addresses in verse 18. Have a look at verse 18. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, the seat of our thinking, the engine that drives our will. And this does defile a person. For verse 19, out of the heart come evil thoughts and murder and adultery and sexual immorality and theft and false witness and slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone. So what Jesus is saying is the truth is that sin, our rebellion against God, is a stain on the soul. All the ways in which I violated his revealed will stain my soul. They defile me. My heart is like a sewer pumping out spiritual sewage that makes me unfit for God's holy presence. And it is a real problem. And it's something we can't get rid of. I once, as a child, saw a fence that had a sign on it, said no climbing. Now, a sign that says no climbing to a child is obviously a sign basically saying, please climb me. And it said below, you know, no climbing, anti-climbing paint. And I thought, I wonder what that is. Let's find out. So I climbed the fence, a bit naughty, I know. I got to the top and I discovered what anti-climbing paint is. It's a paint that never dries and it sticks to your skin and you're guilty, obviously. And there I was for quite some time, covered in this anti-climbing paint. And sin does leave a stain. It defiles me and it leaves me unfit for God's presence. And one thing that won't get rid of it is washing my hands. The only thing that can get rid of it is a rescue from God himself coming in to our world and shedding his blood on the cross, paying the price for sin so that God can justly blot the stain out, so that God can justly cleanse it away and cancel it all out. That's the only thing that can sort it out. But can you see what the tradition of the elders was doing? Can you see what all the added revelation that people bolt onto Christianity does? It leads people to trust in ritual as a solution to the problem, to sort of think that everything is okay when it's not, and to not look to the one person who can actually help them. And because man-made revelation is useless, it is therefore dangerous, because it leaves me all the while with a real spiritual problem. It is a very, very difficult thing to hold to a truth that offends people. I hate confrontation. I don't like going into bat. That is just not my character. I'm not a controversialist. I like to tell people, we've got good news for you, and so we do. That's me. That's my sort of default. And I suspect that was most of the disciples. You know, just look again at what they say to Jesus there in verse 12. Do you not know that they're offended? And, you know, this is how I feel when I say things like Jesus is saying here today. But Jesus says, no, being offensive, or at least sharing a message that offensive, is part of Christian discipleship. You're not going to bring everyone with you. And I think this is very difficult in a workplace context, because I think the pressure on us is to be as broad and generous as we can possibly be. If HR are going to give us any money for our Christian group, it must include anyone that might bear the name of Christian. But there are many Christian movements in history and still today that say, yes, the Bible is authoritative, but so is this leader we happen to have. We've got this extra sort of information. We've got these extra don'ts, or these extra do's. And Jesus is saying to us that this extra man-made revelation is very dangerous. I can't sort of try and work together with people who want to hold to other revelation that's not from God. I need to help them. I need to correct them. But to partner with them isn't really possible. And that will make me unpopular. It will probably put me on the edge of the main group. It will probably mean that some people are offended. But Jesus is preparing us for real Christian ministry. Sometimes it will offend. The litmus test of real Christian ministry and Christianity is the Bible. Is that your only authority? Or are you looking elsewhere to some person or experience? And this is something to talk to your friends in the offices who might bear the name of Christian, and to ask them, can we just go to the Bible? Or are you wanting to go elsewhere? Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank and praise you that you have spoken clearly, and that in the scriptures we have everything that you want to say to your world. And we pray, our Father, that you will help us to say it, and to help people to hear you saying it. And we pray that you will help us to avoid going down paths that are dangerous. We pray that you will help us to snatch others from paths that are dangerous. And we pray that in our own generation, in this culture and in this moment, there would be a great return back to the Bible and to the Bible alone. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.